Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode here on Live or Die, a D&D podcast. I am your baked dungeon master, Caleb Smith, and with us is our very own Jeffrey Wang. Alex Cruz.
Moshy Mosh.
Kevin Jerowitz. And Morgan Blackwell.
This is a recap!
Yay! Thank you for joining us for this very special episode where we're going to be recapping everything that we've done up until this point.
Just so that you're not lost and that we also are definitely not lost.
Let's get right into it. So, the beginning.
Yeah,
that's a while ago. So, it was a very long time ago. It's been a long time.
Some might say a year ago.
Yeah, it's been about a year.
That doesn't sound right.
Hold on. I think you're lying.
A year ago, we began our journey in, what was that little town called? Vinden?
Could have been.
It wasn't that little, but a fishing town of Vinden where you guys all gathered. To meet with this kind of mysterious benefactor named Ferdinand.
Nice guy.
Very cool.
I didn't go there to meet him.
We trusted him.
You, stay in contact with him, actually.
The three of you, Lynn, Beryl, and Lumen all got letters from Ferdinand, but Barrick snuck in under the name of Yareth.
I did.
Another man who had gotten an invitation. You're sneaky about it.
Drunkard kind of caught him out there. Within, like, in 4K, and I just was basically just like, yo, haha, I'm Yareth now.
You know, it's kind of lucky that he missed out on this. I think he would have died.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I think he would have died.
Well, off screen, I killed him. I absolutely killed him.
Okay.
Off screen. Yeah.
We'll debate the canon of that.
Canonicity.
So then you guys go on this like mission to find an artifact that'll help you guys construct Warforge, which is like this lucrative kind of business. Nobody knows how the orcs did it back in the day. And so there was this very, very lucrative, opportunity.
We're not there yet. Hold on.
Both for you know, armies and also just for like, you know, greedy capitalists wanting workforce, you know the deal, right? Lucrative, nonetheless.
So anyways, we found that thing, and now everything's good?
Yeah, so the campaign is over. And then you guys went home, got paid, and just had a nice time at the bar? No. You found out that Ferdinand had this artifact that could turn anything into anything else. It's like transmutation stone. It's like sorcerer's stone.
Some would say the philosopher.
The philosopher's stone, yeah.
Actually, it's called the root of the mountain.
Harry Potter.
It is the root of the mountain.
But we're not there yet.
You guys didn't know that yet. So why don't you guys? Do you guys remember what happened on that kind of escapade?
Fateful evening.
We fought goblins. No, wait.
Yeah.
First episode actually got spliced up. So
yeah, a little bit.
But I mean, we could always talk about that.
You guys got fucked by goblins.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Well, here's what happened. We were on the ship. We made it to the beach. Battle was ensuing. I ran in, used Thunder Wave. Just evaporated goblins, may or may not have hit Lynn.
And sent her to zero.
Yeah.
Unconscious. And you failed a death save.
And then I sang her a lovely tune, brought her back up, and was like, man.
All's well. That is so crazy that the goblins did that to you.
Yeah, the goblins really fucked you up, Lynn.
Yeah.
And Lumen lost his hand axe.
Yeah.
I thought you lost your hand axe.
No.
It was Lumen.
No, because I gifted my
Lumen.
So then we lost that one, but that's fine. Didn't we find like an altar on the other side?
Yeah, so
this
island that you guys got on was this tiny little like sandbar with like some small vegetation.
Yeah.
And really there was only the camp of the goblins with a little bit of gold in it. And then this weird, mysterious stone altar that once you guys found started to, you know, conjure up some mystery, because Ferdinand was acting pretty fishy around
it.
Exactly,
sus,
well.
You could say.
Sus the entire time.
So he brought the root of the mountain with him, and this is how he was tracking kind of different energies surrounding this mysterious artifact.
We found a lot of those mysterious energies.
Yeah.
And it locked in on that altar, and then turned that whole altar and kind of this stone face into just gold. And that was kind of the first time that I think you guys, got your noses turned to something fishy was going on.
Why didn't we take the gold?
I remember we tried.
It was like solid. It was like a surface. You would have to have like chipped it out. And Ferdinand was rushing you guys.
Yeah. That did explain the just cargo of sand that was in there.
Yeah.
We were just like, there's sand here.
And that's how he intended to pay you, was
in sand.
In sand. That he was going to turn into, you know, whatever.
It's just Lynn's litter box.
You did make that joke.
Golden turds.
Did we go to the? Did we find the Merfolk next?
No.
I think we fought a scorpion and went to
you guys went to the next kind of point of interest, another much larger island that was like very heavily, you know, jungle, kind of vibes, and you fought this this giant scorpion. Yeah.
Walk like a man, baby.
It almost beat the shit out of Lumen. That was back during those good old days when I could beat the shit out of Lumen.
and you're still kind of you're getting there to another point where you can, but for a bit you won't be able to.
Yeah, it's been tough for me personally these last few fucking sessions where I've just not been able to hit Lumen.
But giant scorpion
giant scorpion.
And then we found like the ruins.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
What did we find?
We found a cool chest plate wrapped in white tendrils.
Yeah, that was
our first experience with that, right?
With white tendrils, yeah.
Also, I want to bring a little bit of, you know, momentary focus to the fact that one of you fell through the roof. I was going to take a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah, this is true.
Featherfalled you. And I was like, yeah, featherfall. And then I just never used it again.
So I got rid of it.
Who was it that fell?
It was one of us, too. I can't remember.
It was one of you, too.
I think it was Lumen who fell.
Maybe.
I rolled like a natural 20 on my athletics check, which I was like, that shouldn't happen.
This like temple thing was like buried in the ground. So it was really just like a dome peeking out of this like clearing in the jungle. So you guys had to like rappel.
We were Indiana Jonesing our way down.
Yeah.
Remind me what was in this kind of temple thing. There was definitely paintings.
What you guys now know is kind of more familiar is this circular semi-sphere, right? This like dome ceiling kind of cathedral type room with these carved murals on the walls, right? Separated into kind of 12 different sections, kind of like a clock. And then in the middle of this room was this kind of coffin, right? This like stone casket of some sort with this corpse with the chest plate and the tendrils in it that you guys were talking about.
Now that I think about it, why were the tendrils there? To lock it down? Because
that is a good question. You guys tried your best to move them.
Was there bones in
was bones, yeah.
Because, like, well, there you go.
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, like, either this white effect just never ends, like it lasts forever or until dispelled.
I think it does.
I think that's the strongest thing. Or they're like, well, we want to make sure nobody steals this, but if they didn't want anybody to steal it, they could have just taken it themselves.
It could have been a thing. They could have, whoever cast that could have met something. They're like, oh, we can't actually fight this, let's leave it here until it dies.
That could be a thing. Or the power is passed down and the ability to cast these white tendrils just reached the captain.
But that's Savor's armor now.
So. But that's Savor. So Savor, you guys took the plate, and then Savor eventually inherited it.
Yeah. For the audience, let's talk about some of the NPCs before we keep going. Just so they
this little cast of characters. So at this point, you guys are on this ship, kind of running around the archipelago, doing these little missions, and it's you four, our player characters, Lynn, Barrick, Beryl, and Lumen, and then there's Savor, a half-orc paladin who was doing mercenary work, a warforged named Chloe, who we eventually find out is a barbarian, and Ferdinand,
who... And remember, my two companions.
Yes. Charles and Ainsley.
Who just cannot keep their little paws off of your wine.
That was my wine from the beginning, and that was. I've spent a lot.
There were a couple little stinkers.
They were. I think
I killed them off screen too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just joking.
For those who are kind of like listening for the first time and know nothing about our characters, actually, I think we should probably do a little background on our characters, a little spiel.
Can we get to that when we get to the beach moment?
That's actually a good moment. Yeah. Fair. So you guys figure this out, and Ferdinand's is kind of poking around as well, and then you guys leave and you go back to the boat and you spend some more time out on the ocean sailing away, and it is at this point that you guys.
Sunken City.
Yeah, Sunken City. So you guys find another spot, and then you're like, "Where is it? It's not here."
There's no island.
It was under you.
Yeah.
It had sunk down. So you guys took some water breathing potions, except for not Lynn because she fucking so scared.
Yeah.
Ferdinand needed it.
He just had to have the water potion.
Well, he needed to hold on to the stone, obviously.
More sus moments from Ferdinand.
Yeah.
But we went down there, and the entire city was like. It was as if it was, like, a surface city.
Yeah.
Like, this is not a merfolk city. I remember, like, very specifically going and, like, checking out general stores and stuff. And I'm like, oh, is there left anything? No, everything's just here. And it's just like, well...
And you guys eventually found...
No corpses? No?
You guys eventually found that the corpses and the furniture that was inside all these homes had been laid out in this kind of perimeter.
Yeah.
Around by merfolk who had kind of taken up residence. But the most notable thing that you guys found in this sunken town was the Temple of Psycheneid, the god of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys poked around in there, and Ferdinand was very, very interested, and you found another guy who had been latched down with these white tendrils.
And it was an orc skeleton.
It was an orc skeleton, yeah.
So this is a non-Kibnan-friendly ability is what we were thinking at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys didn't really know how old this city was or how long it had been under the sea. You just kind of, yeah.
Whilst I was up there.
Yeah.
Did you just say whilst?
You know,
whilst.
It doesn't matter. But as the designated person who could literally link minds, which was probably the most helpful thing down there while you guys were you know, swimming and not being able to talk. I was up there, and then a steamboat came?
Yeah, a steamer. A Kimnan ship came up and was like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Hey, what the fuck are you doing here?
And quickly, I went into initiative by myself.
Meanwhile, you guys were down in the temple fighting merfolk. So it was like... all one battle, but on two different fronts. Mm-hmm. That was a cool battle. I like that one.
These first, I think these were like three episodes that were covered so far.
Yeah, three or four.
I was deathly scared that Lynn would just die because
she was. Yeah, your con was so bad.
My con was -1.
It was a 9.
Why?
And it was not.
And you were level 2. You had 11 HP at level 2.
It's because you made poor decisions during character creation.
Who dumps
Khan?
You know what?
I know someone who dumps Khan.
Dumps strength like a real warlock.
Yeah. I want a feeble warlock, but like strength-wise.
You could have even dumped Int.
That would have been funny.
Really dumb spellcasters, like charisma spellcasters, are my favorite little trope. I love doing that.
When I thought about it, I was like, character-wise, she would have dumped Khan. She would have probably, like, you know what? I probably don't need
I'm not even gonna get hit.
Wait, no. If she decided to dump Khan, that's technically her dumping, like, Wiz or Int.
Again, there's so many questions here. This is true. That we will definitely get to later.
So you guys take some pretty hefty damage from this this steamer, but you eventually drive it off.
Are
right?
we on the Lady Rose?
Yeah, the Lady Rose. That is the yeah. Ferdinand's ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved that ship.
Gone.
Well, not gone yet. You guys find a little cove to kind of take shelter in while you guys kind of heal your wounds, and Ferdinand at this point has not slept. Ferdinand is like kind of losing it. He's losing his grip a little bit.
Did we just gloss over the fact that he stopped an entire storm at one point?
We did, yeah.
That was minor.
Yeah, on the way to an island, like the island with the relics and stuff. He just stopped the storm. Because I was Yareth still, the guy that was supposed to be the navigator.
And you guys were so lost.
And I was like, we're going this way. Because I was like, gotta lie some more.
Yeah, you were the head navigator while not knowing how to navigate.
And I was like, Sever. Hey. I'm going to take a leak, brother.
Could you take the helmet? And he's like, what the fuck is this guy done? Yeah. Where the fuck are we? You guys take shelter in this cove after being attacked by some Kimnan soldiers. And during the night, you guys are on this like cove of this small island, and you hear this thunder strike off on the island, and you're like, what the fuck? And so Uthad like rings the alarm, and you all get to kind of like your stations, and the four of you run up onto the island.
We got the gangplank
to investigate. And you guys see this like, oh god, I'm trying to remember the details of this.
It was our second encounter with the
white tent. Well, that's about the that's third. About, that's
because it was a campsite that was
abandoned. You find this freshly abandoned campsite, and in the middle of this campsite, you see this high elven man who was tied down, wow. Still living, still writhing against these white tendrils, but the white tendrils had tied him.
Fresh down. Ones.
Fresh
yeah,
ones.
These were fresh ones.
Yeah.
And I didn't have this blue magic,
and
I.
And so what we did is we left the beefy boys to try and get those tendrils out.
Well, we didn't know it was impossible.
At this point, you guys didn't fully understand. No, So the two beefy boys stayed and went to, and you guys chased after figures that you saw.
And I remember you worked really well as a team.
We did.
Oh, yes. So well.
Yeah,
really. Actually, let us recount our teamwork.
Yes.
Where we were chasing after these people that were escaping, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And what happened?
And I ran fast.
Yeah, and I'm not that fast. So you kind of left me alone.
Yeah. Okay.
I was alone.
Sure, for a little bit. And
so then I went invisible.
And then, what's her nuts? Clay.
Now know as Clay.
At that point, was a shadowy figure assassin.
Ambushes Lynn alone.
Yeah.
Fully
beats the shit out of you.
Downs the shit out of me. I had like 2 hit points left. I was scared I was gonna die. And I
specifically made note that I was like, does she look like she's gonna kill her? No. Okay.
Cool.
I'll wait until she leaves and then heal her. Because if I go down, we both die.
Yeah, it is true.
This is a logical choice from Beric. At this point, Yareth.
The strategy, the teamwork and team cohesion had not quite set in yet.
I specifically told you on like the ride home. I do not trust her yet.
Yeah. You were like, "Fuck, Lynn. Yeah. I do not trust."
Because she literally outwardly came out and said, "Yeah, I'm evil alignment," and I was like, okay. "What the fuck is that?"
Is neutral
evil.
Evil-ish. Not fully. She's just a selfish bitch.
She was like at the beginning of this campaign. Lynn was fully neutral evil, and you cannot convince me otherwise. Yeah. She was self-serving.
Anyway, I went on
the
edge to the shoreline, and I see like these. I don't even know what they were. Like, well, I don't know if they were like sloops of ships.
It was one ship.
Oh, it was one ship.
It was the Dark Tide, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the Dark Tide had just.
Picked up a bunch
of these people and was going.
And
off.
I was like, "Can I see them? Not really."
So but you kind of know the general direction.
And I messaged, which is 120 feet, and you're like, wait, what was it? Was it message?
It was message.
You sent to Ferdinand, right?
No, you sent it to a random child. Yeah, you just pointed in the general direction.
Yes, I remember this. This is the stuff that I don't have written down.
And you messaged a child. I got like a very small bit of information. I don't remember what it was.
It was something about like scary man.
Being frightened.
Yeah. Because and it was fighting. It was at that point that I realized that like these are the victims here, not the perpetrators of the crime.
Right.
That we just let the beefy boys in.
And the high elf man might have been a perpetrator of the crime.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That mystery kind of went unsolved for a long time. You guys went back to Ferdinand, and Ferdinand was like, "What the fuck are you doing? Go chase after that ship that you saw leave," right?
Yeah.
There was a lot of running back and forth in that week
episode. Yeah.
We were just like, "Where are we gonna go? What are we gonna do?" We were still trying to help this guy out, but then obviously we ended up having to end his life.
Yeah, coup de grace.
Coup d'état. God, coup.
It's a strike the state versus
striking
of the state versus striking of grace.
Gotcha.
Coup de grace.
Gras.
Yeah. So you guys return to Ferdinand, and he chews you guys out, kind of unfoundedly, just kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And so you guys, like, go into overdrive to chase after this ship, and you guys get interrupted.
Yeah, we do.
You, a couple of those shadows that you had seen land on the ship and start fighting you guys. You guys are in combat. And you guys win, and you capture one alive, and Ferdinand mercilessly kills him.
And we were like, what the fuck?
It's pretty much this point
where we're like, Ferdinand, I don't want to do anything.
Why do I completely not remember this?
Yeah.
I don't remember that either.
Really?
I don't remember
that either. That was the big moment where everyone was like, holy shit, Ferdinand is awful.
I absolutely made up my mind where I was just like, he's a villain now.
Well, that was bad, but what happened immediately after
was worse.
Yeah.
Which kind of threw everything on its head, which was when a giant, like, explosion went off in the distance, right?
Yeah, a mounted defensive mortar was stationed on one of these islands, had seen everything that was going on, and was like, well, there's one of them here. Boom! And sent your ship down to the fucking bottom of the ocean.
It was a moment of just, like slow motion car crashing, and you see just all, like, the shrapnel flying everywhere.
Yeah.
Except we just kind of woke up on an island afterwards.
Yeah, so I think now is a good time to introduce our characters a little bit more fully.
During Survivor Man.
Yeah.
Survivor Man.
On an island, a deserted island.
So,
welcome back to Total Drama Island.
All right, campers. Tonight's challenge, drink fish blood.
How did that ever work?
I don't really remember. But you guys...
That was
you guys,
a good Chris, by the way.
So you guys got stuck on this deserted island, right? This very sparse, bushy kind of island. And it's you four and Ferdinand. Everyone else is MIA. So Beric.
Yareth
at this point, but Beric truly... Run us through Beric as we know him right now.
So, at this point, I was not. I'm not a part of this mercenary band. I had spoken to each of them about their goals on why they were doing this, and it all three came down to, like, money. Yeah, money. Money. And I was just like, Jesus Christ. I mean, like, I guess, I mean, they're mercenaries. What more can I expect?
They are hired
I'll
arms.
Move on whenever I get the chance. Well, now we're on the island. And then I basically just had to come out, and I was basically like, you know, I'm not Yareth.
Oh, by the way, there were probably three instances where you have successfully deceived Lynn into thinking
it was exceptional.
It's almost
how
like
you rolled
my
on those deception
is pumped for a reason.
Yeah.
Did she believe that you saved her life? She
yeah.
got like a goblin knocked her out. What was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you went invisible and the lady knocked her out and you saved her and she's like, oh, thank you.
So
this is the period of will they, won't they?
this is where the enemies to lovers kind of really peaks.
Except
it goes straight back to enemies, but we're working on it.
So
it's coming back.
I
we should do that
them.
More. We should force them.
We're not doing that. I informed the rest of the group that my name was in fact Beric. I'm not here as, like, a navigator, and that I came on to this trip because I'm looking for somebody, and I'm, you know, I have other goals, effectively, what I was doing. And I also pointed out, like, we have a duty to uphold the justice of the people and protect them, and especially with the bullshit Ferdinand is doing right now. He's unconscious, by the way.
Right. At this point, he's unconscious for several days on this
island. I was basically pointing out, like, you guys are all doing this for money, but we're obviously in something way bigger here, and we should have better morals going into this. And I remember I wrote it down. Lynn specifically told me, what can one man do to stop a war?
Mm.
And I responded with, trying and failing is better than not trying at all. And Beric, honestly, was really turned off on this party, basically because of that mindset that she just
I mean,
had.
Like, what a great character moment, though.
It
like, if you think about it, like, Lynn at that moment was so just, like, nihilistic about war and conflict and being invested in things bigger than yourself, right?
And so, at this point, I never expected it, but, like, especially as a character, when I was making the character, that my neutral good bard would be the moral center of the party at this point in my eyes, was not something that I was expecting or wanted to happen. So now I'm here, kind of like, it lost again. Like, yeah. What do? I actually have to work with these people if I want to get off this damn island.
Let's
move on.
Let's switch kind of perspectives. Yeah. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum on that with Lumen. Where was your character at? Introduce Lumen a little bit, and then like, where was your character at this point in the story?
Lumen's a masked mercenary from Vinden, and is just
a human fighter.
A human fighter.
That seems right.
Yeah. Oh, you're very inhuman, aren't you?
Yes, very inhuman. Yes,
what feat did you take?
Magic initiate.
That's right. I remember.
He learned magic at an early age and is like turned Eldritch Knight. You know, big boost combat. Hoo boy. But his big goals at the moment are kind of short sighted. He doesn't have like a big lofty long term. Like
aspiration
plan.
Yeah. He's just kind of like trying to figure things out. His next immediate goal is to pay back one of his caretaker at the moment, Dorian, who's a blacksmith in Vinden, saved him, took him in after like a terrible accident had occurred, and he just wants to make enough money to pay him back, and he needs to live long enough to do that. He needs to live long enough to pay back his debts. And that's kind of where he's at. He will kind of, you know, work with anyone to, like, live. I also think he was on the fuck Ferdinand train at the moment.
Yeah. I think everyone was kind of on
all
that
aboard
train.
Except Beryl.
Where was Beryl at during all this?
Beryl can't just, you know, let something go like that. Mm. You know? Once Beryl says that, you know, he's gonna protect you. He's gonna protect you all the way to the end. It's how he's brought up. He's from very, very far away, a little further than Frieden.
That's where he took refuge.
Yeah. But you know, he's from far away on the plains. You know, where the Dragonborn roam, and he left his home village a long time ago. Walked the plains until he eventually found himself in an unfamiliar place with unfamiliar people and unfamiliar food that he loved. And
right, your background is Far Traveler, isn't it?
Outlander. That's it. Yeah,
I knew it was one of those. Yeah, he's definitely always kind of stuck out as like a sore thumb, kind of throughout the campaign.
In his backstory. He's never fit in anywhere.
Well, I would have to say,
Barrel Zixfignol.
Come on, butcher. Yes.
We've had a year, more than a year.
Dude, I thought that I would never ever know Barrel Xixir Zixfignol, but I do. It's in my fucking
name. BerrelXXYGYR.
Barrel
Xixir.
Zixfignol.
Also known as Beryl. You can call him Beryl.
Beryl.
Yeah.
But he would, I would say, is like the sweetest character for like a Dragonborn barbarian. Because he looks like a koi fish. And he's just like, whenever he's rage, he's like, I think I'm going to go into a rage.
He never really wants to rage. It's just, you know, he doesn't want anybody else to get hurt. You know?
His rage is more of like, just like, tunnel vision.
And fair. And you know who's not sweet?
Lynn.
Lynn. I think
let's talk about Lynn.
I think we have a good balance to this party.
I think we do
got
too.
A moral high ground one. We kind of got the
reserved, emotionally
one-minded
e-boy.
E-boy. Hold on. Lumen's on e-boy.
We've got the Sasuke and the Naruto here with Lumen and Beryl as our beefy boys.
We're brothers, actually. Yeah. Canonically.
Yeah. Sweet him-boy and edgy e-boy.
We have the same birthday, Kevin and I.
We do in real life.
What?
Yeah.
We were born on the same day.
That's insane.
Why did I
same
that?
Year.
Same year. Same
year,
day.
Same day.
Same time.
Same time, same hospital.
Same mom.
Holy shit. You're twins.
Yeah.
Just keeps going.
Yeah, no, well, but like, you know, we're not related.
No.
No.
Of course not.
So.
Obviously.
Then there's Lynn. Lynn Roth Trigania.
I thought it was Lynothra.
Lynothra.
I will never know my own fucking character's name, and that's
gonna Lynn's full name, and this is true, is Linothra Tigrinya. That's it.
Fair.
We all know that Morgan's reading comprehension is not the best.
Yes. There's also just the consistent fucking truth that I know Lynn's backstory, names and all, so much better than Morgan does. So much better. Like, leagues better.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to use the only excuse I have is doing multiple things at the same time. So I can never actually have full attention on anyone.
Oh my god.
Therefore,
Lynn is a great
single syllable. A tabaxi. She is specifically a panther tabaxi. Yes.
Oh, okay.
We'll get into that.
We'll get into that. Yeah. Tabaxi.
I thought she was a cat.
She is from the Chasian Row, which is very much like a Wild West type of.
Up in the Tinian Wastes.
You know, most of it's a bunch of just crime syndicates. And she's a part of one, and that's why she's even on this.
She's kind of out of place when she's in Cassian Row as well, because Cassian Row is one of the biggest human cities. Cassian Row and Fainall are the two, like, human hubs.
Oh, I'm from Fainall, by the way. Beric is from Fainall. I did not mention that because they didn't know it at this point.
Right.
But in terms of character background, that's where Beric is from.
She pretty much brings Charles and Ainsley, just kind of two of the other grunts, part of this giant syndicate that she's a part of, to go and, you know, get this artifact, this thing that's supposed to help build war forges, because that's kind of like the illegal dealing that her syndicate does.
Right. And warforge parts are like pretty, pricey, pretty really luxurious to,
man,
to get
that's
your hands
fucked
on.
Up.
And it's kind of weird because she makes a really, really good friend in Chloe, who is
a
warforge.
I mean, Chloe, like, just like selflessly serves Lynn and just is imprinted. That's good.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like things. There's a constant conflict in Lynn's head constantly. So when she says horrible things, you know, she regrets it immediately after she says it. But that's a part of it all.
I'll tell you right now, Beryl feels so bad because what he was mercenary guarding the whole time was. Warforged parts.
Yeah.
Which he didn't know
were
like living creature.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like
remains.
All of you were coming from the perspective of, we're moving parts. It's illustrious business, blah, blah, blah. But then as time goes on, especially as you hang out more with Chloe and then later in Oakheart, it's kind of a change of perspective. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to talk about like we go through a couple days here.
Yeah, you guys spend, I believe, 3 full days on the island, fishing, catching rainwater, just trying to do your best to survive.
Drinking fish blood.
You guys are getting some. You guys rack up some serious stacks of exhaustion.
Ferdinand almost died.
Yeah, Ferdinand.
That
would have
been pretty funny.
We did try to find the stone on him.
I was pretty sure he had it.
I looked for it and rolled a natural one.
Yes, we all rolled low.
No one else actually even tried to look for it.
I didn't want to find it.
Yeah, you guys tried to look for the stone and didn't
find it. I wanted to believe that he was telling the truth.
Yeah. So you guys get rescued off of this stranded island by the Dark Tide, the ship that you had chased off in the first place. And a man named Rowan Moonseed.
Fucking asshole.
No, he's good.
I love this guy.
I love him.
Hey, we haven't gotten into Arc 3 yet.
I love him.
No spoilers.
So you guys meet Rowan Moonseed, who becomes really your most trusted NPC.
Our new benefactor.
He rescues you, and he confronts Ferdinand and is like, hey, I fucking know you. What the fuck is up? Like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you up to? Let me see if I can find the actual dialogue.
I remember some of the actual dialogue.
Whoa, hold on a second.
There's some good stuff.
D&D scripted?
This guy killed Derek.
I have some important lines.
Originally, something Derek. Like that.
Yes, I believe you knew a friend of mine. You killed Derek Spindleman before you pried the root of the mountain out of his dead hands. Where is it?
And you know what? I never forget it. Caleb gave me the most shit-eating grin, like, looked right at me, gave me, like, a side glance, not right at me, he gave me a side glance when he said that, right after, and he goes, How you doing?
I did. I was really eating shit.
Fuming. Because this is a fucking character that's driving a lot of my shit.
Yeah, he's kind of your background motivation is finding this guy. And he's like, haha, fifth episode, he's dead.
And I'm like, don't let the others hear you. I don't want them to know that I'm after death.
And then you guys board the Dark Titan, make your way to Oakheart. And this is where things get a little hairy.
Yeah.
Ferdinand is locked away in the brig and reveals that he still has the stone. And
in his mouth.
And he
prison pocket.
He uses it to kind of send out this like arcane pulse, right? That alerts the surrounding kind of military to where Oakheart is. And then it's. And he says, "You fools are dying with me now."
No, I'm a whore.
And that becomes the war saga.
Yeah, how many episodes was the defense of Oakheart?
Like, three? Oh,
two.
No, it was more. Only than two. It was at least three.
No,
it was
I think the battle was
the two. Battle, like the actual the battle itself was
two full episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude. It was a slog. It was the most intense combat you guys have really done.
I just remember Beryl chucking me into a group of orcs on my request.
That wasn't me. That was Saver.
So,
was it Saver?
It was Saver.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Thunder Wave took out like eight people. Yeah. Like
Beric's fucking orc kill count was astronomical.
It was high as fuck.
Him and his little fucking liar.
Yeah, I had a few strats, and then I was like, I'm running back.
So basically, what happened is you guys arrived at Oakheart, which is this pretty large island, like 12 miles in diameter. And there's the Oakheart itself is about a 2 mile kind of little square mile area right on the coast. So you guys work with Rowan and Clay and other significant people to kind of pull together a ragtag team. Of like of some kind of a defense, because you guys don't know how much is coming at you, you don't know what they're gonna pull out. So you guys are really just defending your docks, and kind of just playing it flexible. Right?
Another important thing to mention is Oakheart is like a refuge for Warforged in particular.
Yes. It was really unfamiliar to all of us.
It was Rowan was the head guy. He you know is kind of the pseudo mayor of the city,
and is a really good dude.
Yeah,
like this guy basically just set up like a refugee camp for all of these people, and we put together that like these are the people that we saw leaving that island.
A lot of Warforged were kind of putting together these very low, very dangerous, very unsanitary refugee camps kind of illegally scattered throughout the archipelago, and he was gathering them and bringing them somewhere that where they could have, you know, infrastructure and like clean water, and well, they don't need clean water, but you know what I mean, like just shelter,
oil.
Yeah, the materials that they need, right?
And
there were other
Clay was there.
Yeah, Clay,
the lady that beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, she's a human woman, and her son
Willow, who is
the blacksmith's apprentice.
Just a cute
little
kid.
Cute boy.
Was super peeved that he didn't get to help out in the defense effort.
Yeah.
Just super peeved.
Was he handing out armor?
He was handing out armor.
And then our favorite NPC at Oakheart.
Farad Dornshade. The
wood elf sorcerer who runs the magic
chain
shop.
Lightning.
Yeah.
Six level spell.
On a blimp.
On the blimp that flew over.
Pretty cool.
But like,
she's nothing to fuck with.
Yeah, I know. Oh, there was a moment where Beric like sort of kind of goes crazy because he's so like coming off the island and stuff. He was so like wound up.
Right.
We're going right into the battle, and I just remember going like, "Oh shit, what would Beric do?" And then I just start pulling people. I was like, "Can you cast Entangle? Can you cast Grease?
Right.
I want all of you over here because we're." And then he just starts spouting out shit. Some of it may not even work, and then he's just like doing like everything.
You guys set up like barricades, and
stuff.
And
I'm pretty sure you just had to basically go, "Can you just calm down?" and I'm like, sorry, I'm a little.
So what eventually happens is you guys run some like covert missions to kind of counteract some. Mm-hmm.
This is where I used Shatter and just eviscerated all the people.
So there were
I didn't even see them.
There were orcs that had set up. Catapults, but they weren't sieging the city yet. They were just kind of preparing. So you guys were doing some covert operations, and they set up a bomb that you guys managed to defuse and kind of deactivate.
Mm-hmm.
And
counter-terrorists.
Didn't we have a box with the root of the mountain in it?
Yeah, yes. You guys had placed it into a small chest.
I remember being affected by it.
Yeah, you touched it. What did you see?
I saw a vision where I was the ruler of 1,000 dwarves in a long hallway where I was sitting atop a throne. I'm pretty sure there's a presence of a lot of gold. And it felt like, obviously there's a lot of power involved, but it felt like I was corrupted by, like, my core, like my moral center had been corrupted for it. And so...
And you were holding, in that vision, you were holding the stone. And
yeah, I was.
You grasped it, and gold just floods the...
Yeah, oh, that's what that was, yeah.
Yeah. Right, everything turns to gold, including thousands of dwarves that are there in the hall with you.
All mine.
Yep. And then the siege begins. The siege. Which we don't fight. We don't have to go into, because it took us a long time to play out. It was all the combat.
Highlights.
Highlights. There was ladders,
ladders
cannons.
Were killed.
Cannons.
Yeah.
There were orc points. We were keeping count of orc kills.
Ballistas.
They were firing so many cannons at us.
They were catapults, and I said cannons every time.
So many cannons.
It was awful. So bad.
There were two, like, commanding officers for the orcs. One of them was, like, obviously a barbarian. The other one was obviously a fighter. One of them got 1v1 by, like, Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was just got his shit rocked by our beefy boys over here.
And a ballista shot.
And
one ballista shot.
And then our beefy boy got
by a ballista shot. And you guys got to see Chloe go into a blood rage.
Yeah.
Because she was a combat warforged when she was constructed. And although that's definitely not what she likes to do.
So I think the biggest kind of mistake at this point that Lynn decided to make was, you know, shoot this ballista at this beefy boy while her two little beefy boys were fighting this big beefy boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked the first time.
Yeah, it worked the first time really well.
Lumen and Barrack were, like, doing some great combat. They're surrounded by orcs, so they're...
Lumen and Barrel.
Barrel,
I was on the wall with... In another ballista.
So Lynn was on the wall with a ballista, and our two melee fighters were up there just getting into it. She fires a ballista shot. It goes right into this guy's shoulder. He's rolling attacks at disadvantage. And then she takes another shot.
And it's funny because Caleb asked me, he was like, are you sure you want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I asked you both times you fired the ballista shot. I was like, you were firing, one, a very long distance, and two, right next to our two melee boys.
Meanwhile, I'm like,
who are low on health. Barrel goes fucking Barrel goes down during that. He gets back up.
I don't think I did.
No.
No, you went down and then health potted. You got a health pot, I thought.
I health potted him.
Yeah, no.
That turn.
Because he got half because he was raging.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Lynn, I had to go into the mind flip.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, what would she do?
She'd take
the shot.
Yeah.
And Lord, did she take the shot.
She took the shot and it fucked up.
Lumen,
first time he got hit, done.
He got toasted.
Like, I don't know if he got hit before, during, like, because this is the whole siege is where the beginning of Lumen's high AC.
Yeah.
Because you guys had just leveled up. Or you had leveled up recently the first time. You had leveled up once before this. And then you guys leveled up again after it, right?
Yeah. I think that Caleb rolled a lot of crits during that fight against Lumen.
Because
you fought an Orog at one point.
Yeah, and then I specifically remember.
Just Lumen, the action economy in general, you guys were taking a lot of hits in general. There were so many more of them than there were of you. They were weak, and they pretty much took like one or two hits to get out. But there was a lot of swords coming at you.
At that time, Caleb was like 26 to hit, and I said miss.
That was all, and it was true.
All Lumen could do was hold out against these orcs and orogs while
you dealt significant amounts of damage.
Yeah, but then
and shield over here.
So,
but then a ballista shot just immediately downed him.
Yeah, he got shot straight in the back, I believe,
mm-hmm.
In his shoulder, and went down. I think the exact image is the bolt goes through your back, pokes through your chest. And then you fall and like you're like propped up by it.
Yeah, something like that.
It's pretty nasty stuff. Yeah.
Thankfully, you had the first aid team here, which was just
Barrels. You guys with healing elixirs.
Yeah, so you saved him.
So it's a net zero.
Yeah.
So it's a net
you did nothing.
Yes.
So
I healed him, and then I said, "You're gonna pay for that." loincloth and
killed him.
And I killed him. Yeah.
Fucking annihilated him and stole his axe.
I didn't really know at the time that it wasn't him that dealt that blow, but
you had other priorities. You weren't paying too much attention.
Yeah.
And then you guys, a blimp passes over the city, and you guys spend some time dealing with that.
Terrifying,
because it starts bombing houses. But then you guys quickly, and Farah with her chain lightning and her just absolute evocation madness.
Like, how the fuck did you get up there?
She
sure fly can be cast.
I know she could fly.
If she had chain lightning, she had fly.
Oh, I know, but I just think it was funny that you're like, and you see someone on there.
Yeah, it's just laughing, Farah, just like with fucking blood in her eyes, you know. The blimp goes down, and eventually you guys fight back the orcs and capture a significant population of them as these like prisoners. And that's where the defensive Oakheart ends.
Is that the end of arc one?
That's the end of arc. That's the end of arc one.
Yeah, but I would like to remind everyone we ended on a pretty dissatisfying note with that war. Just kind of trying to understand the scope of what we've gotten ourselves into.
Right.
And I remember specifically at the bar sitting down the next morning with Beric and just getting a real harsh talk to.
Yeah.
Really, it was
Beric
really, I mean.
And I still hard. Now, I was observed. I mean, you did not take the lives of our party members into account, like, in very high regard. And I was not having it.
The Beric-Lynn conflict was, like, a very definitive point in how the party kind of decided to fit together, right? It was a big point in, like, we're not going to prioritize ourselves here. It was, like, a big turning point.
Yeah, but you know what? That's a good point, because I remember we were talking, and I think it was when the blimp flew over that Lynn was like, okay, let's lay down our cards. If shit goes too far south, we're getting out of here.
What are we doing? Yeah.
And I turned to, I think, I don't know if Rowan was there, but I turned to them. I was like, I honestly cannot believe you just said that.
Yeah.
And I was like, we are staying here and we are fighting until it's over. No matter what happens, we are in this now. They are literally relying on us, because if we weren't there, they would have lost. Saver was a badass. He was cleaving people.
He had his Warhammer,
but he would have been overrun, and so would have Clay, and so would have Farah, because Chloe. You know, they only have limited resources, and they were massively outnumbered. So
and I think
that was a big moment too.
That point at the tavern, Lynn had to reassess herself as, because she's a very much so a self-preservationist,
right.
And she will put her life above everyone else, no matter what situation. And at that point, that's when she had to reassess, is this really something that she can keep doing?
Right. Well, I mean, during the defense of Oakheart, Charles and Ainsley both go down. Chloe goes down. And they get out of there on, like, a sliver of health, basically. They go through the same recovery period that you guys do in the next couple of days staying in Oakheart. It was for Lynn especially, like, the people that had become important to her over the past few like week or so, it was a big deal. Self-preservation was seeming a lot less ideal, you know.
I think there was the presence of a festival, though.
There was a festival. I wanted to reward you guys for putting up with three sessions of just grueling dark combat.
I remained the arm wrestling champion.
Yeah, yeah, you guys,
and the pie eating champion,
There was that dwarven constitution really working for you.
Yeah,
there was lizard racing. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah,
I wasn't around for that. I couldn't bear to watch.
That felt offensive.
And then the pie eating contest that Farah put on with these mystical pies that did random tables of effects on you guys.
Did it turn Lumen into a goat?
It did.
And Barrel. Yeah. And Barrel.
Goat. Yeah, the goat one got rolled twice. It was great. And you guys did a fair bit of gambling.
Yeah, that was fun.
I cheated
some. I'm pretty sure there was some cheating. Yeah.
Oh, there was a lot of cheating involved. And you guys met a lot of cool people like Kinch, the Warforged, who was a captain's servant and killed his captain and impersonated him for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You guys met Clay and Willow a little bit more formally. You met the 64 family, who own the inn and in tavern locally.
Ken.
And I met Ken.
Al's alcohol and alchemy.
And I purposely call him Alan, which is not his name. But that's just what I did in my head.
Yeah, and then in the next little while, you guys go and you destroy the root of the mountain with Rowan's...
Destroy in quotes.
we put it in a...
I
trust Rowan.
No, because there was a moment where I pulled out an illusion of the stone and plop it in.
Right, and Rowan's like, don't fuck with me.
His insight was like, don't fuck with me. And I was like, all right, just making sure. And I pulled out the stone for real.
And you put it in this dimensional contraption that
it's like a garbage disposal.
Yeah, it squashes material between two planes of existence so aggressively that it just shreds it into non-existence.
It's kind of like the computer trash bin.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hopefully you can't restore anything though.
Well, we'll see.
Rowan begins to explain kind of his experience with these tokens, these artifacts, right? As these mystical, dangerous representations of arcane force, right? And how, and their role in kind of destroying the lives of many, right? And he convinces you guys to help him out on this quest, and so that's where we begin arc two. We'll do arc two next time. If you guys want to follow us on our social media, on Instagram @LiveOrDiePodcast and on Twitter @LiveOrDiePod. We love hearing from you and interacting with you.
Please do.
Please do. And we'll see you guys next time.
Peace. Peace. Peace.
Goodbye.
Bitch.